Do I have with this God anyhow that's about ready to speak with me? Well, there is number three, a vivid connection between the spirit of man and God's spirit that allows for eternal fulfillment. There is a great difference between the spirit of man that gives you life and the spirit of God that comes in you to give you better life. I know that to be true. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll move on down to verse 11. And I think that you're going to get a real good idea on who God is here. He says, "For who amongst men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" In other words, who knows your thoughts except you and your spirit that dwells in you? And then it says, "Even so the thoughts of God no man knows except the spirit of God." Now, if you're living in a culture where God has given you a spirit, and that spirit really animates you and gives you life, who can know your spirit but your own self? What better Paul says is that when the man is engulfed by the spirit of God, who not only reads your thoughts, knows your thoughts afar off, the modern Christian in society today has to be a man and a woman who is driven by God's spirit and not driven by the spirit of the age. You know, one of the things that made Adolf Hitler very popular during World War II? It was a German term that they used, and it was basically called the spirit of the age. The Germans believed that no one and nothing could stop them. As a matter of fact, they were so convinced that their machinery, everything that they did was on conquering everyone in the world. And you want to know something, friends? If you look at the films, they almost did it. And they had a heck of a lot of people very convinced that it was true. And this spirit also jumped in on some of the other Axis powers in Japan, because the Japanese following their emperor, my gosh, when you look at those guys who are crashing their planes into our nation's ships out there in the Pacific, do you know what they believe? They believe that the ultimate fulfillment of eternal destiny was to take out as many allied forces as you could, and their ship had become nothing but a bomb. And the American soldiers didn't know how to deal with this. These guys are killing themselves for the nation. Guess what we're doing here? We have no direction at all in this nation. Do you know what the power is? The power is the Spirit of God coming in our lives, transforming us to cause us to live as believers. If you are a Christian, you are to live as a believer in a society that is going backwards. Stay in the book of Corinthians, but we're going to go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4, verse 16. I'd like to show you something else. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16. What we're looking at is that man is a dying creature, and the Lord gives this dying creature some purpose. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16. It says, "Therefore we don't lose heart, but though our outward man is dying, yet our inner man is renewed, or being renewed day by day. I am physically dying outwardly. You are physically dying outwardly. On the inside of you, you're growing and getting stronger. That's what the Spirit of God in you is all about. You can be dying of cancer in a hospital bed today in the cheapest hospital in town. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You are no more better alive than that. What we've done is we've transferred it. We've given life to our bodies, and therefore we think we have life. There's a lot of young people in this room, and you young folk are full of life. But unfortunately, some of you young people don't even know what the Spirit of God feels like, permeating your heart, giving you purpose to live. There's a lot of you adults. You have good jobs, good homes, money, and everything else. And what are you doing? You're filling that empty place with nothingness out there. And what God wants to do is He wants to give you a sense of fulfillment. Now, just turn one page over to chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and we want to spend a little time here looking at some themes that we need to analyze. Let me read all of the verses to you, and then you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, that is, this body, we groan, being burdened. Because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepares us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a little time with this, and I'd like you to note the theme of these verses, and as you analyze each, let's look again at verse 1. This is what it says, "For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down." In other words, I want you to understand, you city dweller, that your body is not a permanent fixture. No. I know what New Age teaches you in this society. You are here forever. You are God. You are somebody. No. You know what God is saying? Your body is going to be destroyed. God tells you right from jump, Al, you're going to get old, man. You're going to get arthritis. You're going to get, hey, man, pain is just going to rack you. Some of you are going to come up with, what is it? When I call it old-timer's disease. Oh, you're going to get something. You're going to get something. You're going to start crumbling and fading away. That is exactly what the text of Scripture is saying. For we know that this earthly tent, which is our home, will be torn down. Now, I see that. Now, he says that we have another building made of God in the heavens. In other words, I don't look for this down here as the ultimate objective. People in our society are looking at this life as the ultimate objective. This is only, my friends, a facade, a front. The old Christians of old put it this way, we are just pilgrims passing through. We are sojourners here. This isn't yours forever. Has anybody ever told you, no, I don't ever want to get sick and die, man, I want to stay here as long as I can? They're not saved. They're not saved. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. I do not want to be here forever. I do not want to be on this planet forever. I want to leave here. Look at verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3 says, "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." And then it says, "Inasmuch as we have put it on, shall not be found naked." In other words, the body that we have shall cause us to desire another body. I desire a better body than this. I'm not locked in to Los Angeles. I'm not locked into cars, to furniture, to money, to things, to food, to clothes. Are you? Because if you're locked into that, the minute you get sick and you're going to leave the planet, you're going to be wondering about who's going to get what you're leaving. I don't care what, who gets what. I just got some news the other day, Carlton. One of my relatives called me and said, those of you know years ago where we used to live on Elm Street, well, I just heard that the whole house burned down to the ground. Boom, just burned down. That was a house that I grew up in over the years, and it's been some mismanagement there, but I won't get into that. But everything is burnt up, and I laughed, and I was saying to the person that called me, oh, who cares who gets that mess? And they just said, why don't you? I said, no, I don't care. Y'all can take that money. Hey, that mess is earthly. I'm not concerned about no mess over there. What are you concerned about? Who's going to get what after you die? I got some news for you. You have no control over it. Make out a will. They're going to contest it. Put everything down. They're going to change it. Get old. They're going to put you in a rest home if they don't love you the way they're supposed to. Oh, yeah, they don't want you hanging around. Got to change your diaper. They don't want to do that. Not these young folk. Oh, grandmama, just how much you leave me. Put her in a rest home. I'll never forget, my dear wife was recovering in a certain place after she had the surgery, and there was a dear old lady in that bed. Nobody ever came to see her. And one daughter came, my wife said, and all she was doing was trying to hit mama up for some money. Hitting her poor mama up for the money. And then the other sister came and said, don't give her nothing. All she's doing is using up everything you work for. And the poor lady wouldn't even eat. She just laid in the bed and wanted to die. You see, my friends, and that's vanity. And that's what people would do to you in this life. Verse 4 says that a man's mortal tenure is in a temporary strait. For it says, for indeed we are in this tent, and we groan being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed. In other words, you're in a peculiar state here. You're aching, you're cold, you don't have any money, you don't know what's going to happen. And God knows that you're in that state, and he says, I have you there. But my friends, you're supposed to trust in him regardless. Verse 5 is showing us that God had intent in the creation by way of his Spirit. He says, now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God and gave us the Spirit as a pledge. In other words, as you go through that pain, you have the Holy Spirit to carry you through. But you don't think about that. You're too busy trying to get out of the pain. I got some news for you young people. Change is coming. There's going to be some difficult hours. Young men, there's going to be some times when you're going to want to cry. Because you're going to want to fight or cry or run. I got a call last night late. And I don't think that the lady is in the room. I got a call last night. Lady is not a member of our congregation. I ministered to this lady. She placed herself in a fine church, a fine Bible church. Doing real good. She called me last night. She said, Pastor John, I don't know what to tell you. I said, what is it? My husband left me yesterday. Just walked off and left me. I said, now listen, that is groaning in this tabernacle. That is groaning in this tabernacle. The people you love will do the, listen, they're going to do some horrendous things to you. But he's given you the pledge of his Spirit, and that's what carries us through. In verse 6 in this text, we see the being satisfied in the estate as man causes friction to the spiritual. Look at verse 6, for it says, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, you're in that body, you're living in this body, in this big city, but you're not with Jesus in his full capacity. You see, you're with Jesus as you spend time with him, talking about those things that you need to talk with him about. Listen, I'm trying to talk to you this way because you're living in the big city. You're just like this man Cornelius. God has spoken to him and God is speaking to you. But you know what we're living like? We're living like the world, undefeated sinners. Because every time some problems come in our lives, if we're not calling somebody else trying to get a world's response to those problems, why don't you start taking the Bible response and do what God tells you to do? And of course, verses 7 and 8 and 9 is saying that man's entire journey is to get a proper handle on what it means to have purpose, and the verse provides that for us. He says, you're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. The Christian church is walking today by sight. Well, God must not love me because I'm not driving that Lexus yet. I hope you never get anything but that bus pass. You need to thank God for the bus pass. Thank him for it. Yeah, but there's never any place for me to sit. Stand up and hold on to that bar. And then when the bus turns, you just go ahead and rock. And then every time you rock, I said, oh, he's my rock. What you talking about? That's all right, man. He is my rock, my wheel in the middle of a wheel. Because I'm in the middle of this bus. That's right. And if you keep rocking on that bus, in time, he will give you a little car. Oh, it may be a Vega, a Pinto, or something like that. You don't need the Lexus yet. That takes time. That takes time. And let me say this to you young people. You don't deserve the BMW, the Mercedes, and the Cadillac. You haven't worked hard enough for it. I see all these young ignorant folk driving these big old cars around, and just, like I said, they can't even spell Mercedes. Talking on the telephone and ain't talking to nobody but mama, what's for dinner? I couldn't believe it. My wife and I went somewhere and there was a little teenage girl in the car, 13 years old. Her mama was in a stationery store and the 13-year-old girl using the phone, I guess she was trying to call, what cartoon are you looking at? I mean, young people, you don't even know the value of materialism. And some of you grown folk are trying to give them everything. Don't give them anything but a bedroom and a bed and a sheet and a broom. That's right, Nanny Little Greg, a broom. Sweep off the garage. You know what you're doing? You're training them how to get a job and work. Once they sweep off the driveway, then you're going to say, now, let's find, ladies, you want to train your daughters right? I'll show you how to train them. Get in there and cook some bread. What you mean cook some bread? Get some flour, get some cornmeal, some baking soda, some salt, some milk, some eggs, and make me some biscuits or something. You teach them how to cook. Because James, if they ever get married, a man's not going to want them if they can't cook. I wouldn't want them. You know, but no, you know what you want to do? You want to go out and buy them the latest video game. What? Well, they need the latest video game. What do you mean video game? You know them games that, you know, showing where you just be killing folk and kicking folk and karateing folk and stumping folk and smashing folk and cutting folks' throat and blowing them up and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, your child does not have a value of human life anymore because they see human life as a video game. And then the first person that makes your child mad, they're going to get something. They go, well, just take his head off and watch his brain explode. And then you wonder what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Now, listen, let me tell you. Now, I'm not against video games because when Atari first came out a number of years ago, I bought one called the Defender. It was just a little spaceship coming down trying to get these people before they get caught up. Well, I'm going to tell you, in my house, nobody beat me in Defender. Because, oh, you know, like when them little flying saucers come to get the people, well, I just take that little mouse there and boop, and get them back and shoot them out the sky. One day I was playing, something happened to me. I was doing that so much, Will, that I got mad at those things that was on the screen, and I said, shut that thing off, fool! This isn't real! But now with some of these video games, you playing that stuff, and you know what? You get caught up in that mess. Amen, church? You get caught up! Hey, man, I got 4,000. Well, what are you working for? 10,000. Why? I'm telling you, friends, you better be careful. You better be careful. See, there's no eternal fulfillment in that. And then what you're teaching is you're teaching your children that there is where you get eternal fulfillment. No, my friends, that is not eternal fulfillment. Let's move on down to the fourth point here. The fourth point is that we're answering the question, what does it mean to be a Christian man or woman in today's society? If we're looking at Cornelius and God is calling this man and God is going to send Peter the Christian down to him and everybody in his house is going to come to faith, what was this man wrestling with? Well, we realize that God provides powerful fulfillment to the man that he has created. So.